It's been a long while.
I miss it. Oh my gosh.
Thank you for sending me the link, because I totally was like, I should probably have a runner show up or something right now. I'm just trying to get my shit together, I swear.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We in this together. We in this together, so, baby.
Do we want to do the like an official intro and stuff right now, or do you want to finish telling me what you were telling me?
I'll finish telling you what I'm telling you, and then I can clip it.
Okay.
So, the way that my podcast equipment is packed, most of it is able to fit in this bag, which is cute, okay. Right? Nice, portable. However, comma, it, can only go with my carry-on bag, which takes up the entire carry-on bag, which I want to carry it on because I don't want it to be with the checked luggage because it's not right. But also being like, I'm wondering if there's like a harder case, something that's more compact, even though I don't know how I would even try to condense like the size of the Rodecaster and then the mic and the stand, like it's a lot. So I've been exploring. It truly is. So I've really been exploring different options. But one of the things I was like, I really want a portable green screen to where wherever I'm at, it doesn't matter what the aesthetics of the background is, because I'm going to have my overlays in the back anyway. So that's something that is on my to-do
you
list.
You can put them on the back of your chair.
See,
granted that you have a chair, but if you don't have a chair, well,
I need to figure something out and exploring these different options to where it can like fit in the carry-on. It has to fit in the carry-on bag, period. So that's where I'm at with the
podcast equipment. What else do you have that you're considering to be podcast equipment? So you mentioned the Rodecaster, the mic, the stand.
I have the light.
The light.
That provides it. I have a webcam, a stand for the webcam, and then for the light, I have a stand that attaches to the desk for that, a desk stand, and also a floor stand.
Ma'am, you might have to downsize, ma'am.
Oh,
ma'am, that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff.
Oh, my God.
Not that you looping. Okay, all right.
It needed a double two times. That's a lot of stuff.
It is.
You might need to downsize. And so, for instance, go with me here. You don't have to carry around a Rodecaster if you just upload the sounds into the studio. I'm just saying.
I like my soundboard, and
I'm sure you do. But also, unless you're about to get rid of a half of a carry-on, this is welcome. Welcome. Okay. Welcome. And I'm glad that we're recording this, because this is important for people to understand. You got to determine what is important for you to have. And if all of those things are absolutely non-negotiable, got to come with me, then guess what might not be able to come? The teddy bear snuggie or something else that as many outfits or whatever, right?
What so you the when, hell? When oh my God, no way. Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Instead of having, for instance, the sun, the light that is like the sun, right? Maybe you have two smaller clip-on lights or whatever. Like, but it's, you're going to have to figure it out, or you're going to have to make space for the stuff that you're saying that you need to have with you. So that's just what it is.
Now, what I will say is that the light and the light stand, I can make accommodations for that, because even the stand itself, when I was flying to Colombia, my bag was overweight and that stand was in my checked bag. And it wasn't in there intentionally because I didn't want to carry that heavy stand. But it's very heavy duty. It's very tall and it's very multi-purpose. So I really wanted that stand. However, Karma, carrying that stand, moving several different places, I don't want to see that stand anymore. The stand is in the closet in the room and I don't want to pull it out unless I really need to. And the only time that I pulled it out was for the podcast recording of So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese, which it didn't even light up appropriately. And then I was just like, you know what? Okay. All right.
Right. So that's what you're going to have to go through and do an inventory about, you know, the things that you have and all of that. And especially because you'll be able to go and drop stuff off, you kind of have an advantage of being able to offload some weight. So that literally, but also like mentally and trying to figure it out, because I trust me when I tell you, I understand, you know what I mean? That's why I'd have, even right now where I'm set up, this is very much my minimalist setup because I'm only using one screen. You know, I have my mic and my webcam, my mouse and my keyboard. And even that, the keyboard that I am using is a hard keyboard because I used to have a roll up keyboard so that it would minimize space. But it was a hell nightmare to type on. So then I'm like, okay, guess what I got to do? Now I got to make room for this keyboard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like you really got to have those critical conversations unless you gonna pay for overweight bags. And that's some people's choice too. Just know it's gonna be overweight. So it's overweight. And you still got to get it to the counter. You still have to, because I did that too, right? Because when I moved a few times, it was cheaper to fly first class. Because the bags were checked, the bags were included in it, and you got a 70-pound weight limit. Mm-hmm. So it just wound up being cheaper after all of the fees and stuff to just fly first class. So that was nice. I got 40 extra pounds, but also when they dropped me off, and I still got to roll these 70-pound, two 70-pound suitcase, a carry-on, and a backpack. That shit's a lot. So it makes you be like, I don't really need this. I don't really need this. So that's the stage that you're at. So welcome.
Yeah. Particularly when I'm carrying pounds of grits back and forth. So that's
fucking all.
Yes, indeed.
Shots damn fired. And thank you for your sacrifice of helping to get grits here. I definitely, and see, this is the thing. I ration my things. So I still have those containers because I only use them on special occasions because I know I only have access to so many.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm going to say this. I still have grits in my backpack and in my check bag. Between the transport of it being transported from the bear cave to your apartment to all that, I still had grits. So before Andrea had came, I was like, you know what? She about to come and clean this bathroom. And I got these grits in this bag. So what I do in the bathroom, I flip my bag upside down and just all the grits just hit the floor.
You have loose grits in your bag?
Loose grits in my backpack, girl. And my check bag. There's still little seeds in there. And not seeds. That was a wrong word choice. But y'all know what I mean.
That's the right grain. It was all right. We're coming back. Got it, but I was going to let you rock with it. Just having a moment. And I'm just hoping, like, thank you for your sacrifice. Like, thank you for your service and your sacrifice to get grits.
I appreciate it, bestie.
Not
thank you.
Available here. Got it. Okay, so we can clip this and call this Welcome to Digital Nomadhood for real, because it really is a process in figuring out all the things for sure, because backs be tied, okay? That'd be a lot. That shoulders be hurting. It'd be a lot.
Yeah, that the move where moving to different locations in a short amount of time really illuminated that I need to condense. I could wear the same thing over and over at this point. I don't even care because there's a washer and a dryer. And I understand the dryers are hard to come by. And that's why I'm very particular when I do this search moving forward to make sure that the accommodations that I want is something that's available. However, comma, oh, we could wear the same thing every day, baby. In fact, I've been walking around here with a sports bra and some booty shorts. So that's the type of time I'm on.
Yeah, but that's why you see I be wearing this. I have 3 or 4 jersey knit shorts from H&M, my favorite leggings from Amazon with the double pockets, and my crop tank tops that I got from H&M. I got about 3 of them. And a lot of this, though, is because I can't even fit my damn clothes no more.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm just like, you talking about paring down. I'm just happy to be able to, something for not to be falling off of me right about now.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
That's wow. But yeah, because who you dressing up for is what I'm trying to, like, where you going? And who is receiving all these outfits? And also, if this is an outfit that I know I could rock, I don't give a fuck if you see it every time you see me. This is my uniform. Think about it that way. This is my uniform. Yep.
Yes, indeed, for uniform.
Shit.
Well, you know, my teddy bear snuggie is my uniform. You know, the armor of the Lord, you know. So I got a little sad when he was like, I can't break my teddy bear snuggie. I was like, what?
I was just saying. You got to make some hard choices, you know.
I'll wear that on a plane first.
What the hell? Oh my God, no way.
My brain got so stuck just now on all the germs that you would encounter on an airplane. I was just like, what? I can't. Oh my God. But that's your prerogative. If that's how you're going to make space for it, then you now fly, you now identify as a teddy bear. And when you get on the plane, this is your uniform.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I do want to do is go to the airport in uni.
And do what?
Like,
to get
what?
On the airplane?
To get on the airplane.
They're not going to let you on there, girl. They got to verify your identity, girl.
Okay, well, yes. I don't think they're going to let me on the plane. I don't even think I'll be able to fit through the door with it actually on and inflated. But the point is to actually be in the airport lounge. Just imagine me walking around the Amex lounge with this uni on. Yes, indeed.
Entertainment. You know how to make balloon animals and shit?
No. No, I don't. I wish
talent?
I did. My talent is twerking.
Okay. Well,
is that children appropriate? So I need to find something more family friendly.
Just a tad. Just a little bit. Unless you're going to disguise it as like a twerk fit session for moms or something, you know, and they come in there and release a little tension right quick. But also, how long is you in this lounge? What's happening?
Well, this particular flight that I'll be headed back home, the layover is a few hours. So I want to say it's 3 hours, 4 hours. But we'll see.
You have
we'll
uni with you?
No, I'm about to go get them.
Okay. So you're making space for uni. How much space uni take up?
So uni takes up a small packing cube. He's in a small black packing cube.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like uni coming along for the ride.
I'm praying about it.
Mm-hmm. Felt and heard and understood.
Yeah, we got to do some calculation on the other bags. We got to do calculations on the other bags and what's going to be in it and all of that. Because, yeah.
Did you like geometry in school?
Hell no. I didn't like math in school.
None of them?
The only thing I liked was when we was counting money. The multiplication tables, being able to remember and recite and on the fly, I was good at that. But when we got into like algebra one and two, where we needed, you know, the special scientific calculator, nope. Mm-hmm. Geometry, where we, you know, measuring the angles and not nope. Mm-hmm. And all of those different equations that are set up that we don't use as adults, nope.
That needs to be a sound effect.
Nope.
I was asking because packing is like the ultimate geometry problem. Mm. I loved geometry. I loved math. So except algebra two. Once we got to algebra two, and my algebra two teacher actually follows me. She might see this one day. Girl, I'm not blaming it on you, but what was we doing? Because what is we doing? I don't understand. Class. Uh-oh. In my bag.
Lord. A little bit. Okay.
The internet said, girl, let me save you because you're about to say something crazy. But nah, I don't know. I do not know what was happening in algebra two. I really don't. My teacher was like, she was cool and everything, but I was not. I did what I needed to do to pass the test. But as far as retaining any of that, parabolas, that's all I know. Exponential curve, that's it. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know what this is. Then after that, I had calculus. And let me tell you about my calculus teacher. Girl, what was you even doing, girl? Girl, we didn't learn nothing. Girl, she was giving us all of these equations out of context. It was an AP calculus class, okay? Because you got supposed to pass the AP exam, which also I have never successfully passed the AP exam in my entire life. Okay. I was in all AP classes, but also I don't know what to put on this test. So whatever. But anyway, I took calculus three times. The first time I took calculus was in my high school. She was teaching us all these equations. Didn't know when to use it. Don't know what for. Don't know nothing about it. Then I took it at Xavier University concurrently. So like dual enrollment or concurrent admissions. Still was fighting for my life to get a seat. What is happening? I don't understand. Then I took it at Fisk for the third time. Now I made it out of there with an A, but baby, I had to work for it. I was in that lady's office like, miss, I don't know what I am missing, but ma'am, it's my third time. I don't know. I just don't understand. But geometry, that was one of my favorite maths because oh my God, I loved it so much. So my teacher I don't know if you know this, I went to all girls private school. For high school. So Mr. Smith was my teacher, and there weren't a lot of male teachers, but there were a few. So anyway, Mr. Smith was a geometry teacher, and he always, I guess he was really good at teaching us real life applications of things. So one of my favorite projects was a toothpick bridge. And that means you had to build a bridge out of toothpicks, and the bridge had to be strong enough to be able to hold a certain amount of weight. So it was a group project, and I remember us, you had to map out a plan, what it was going to look like all of this and that. The secret for anybody that ever watches this is that you have to use triangles, because the way that the weight distributes is if the weight is on the point, but it'll distribute it across the base at the bottom. So you use interchange triangles in your design to be able to hold a particular amount of weight. So it was one of my favorite projects. I did it with my students so many times. It's one of the ones that they remember. And mind you, I taught in the classroom from 2006 to 2012. So my students are like, my first group of kids are like 28, 29, right about now. They still be talking about this. Ms. Jackson, you remember when we did that two big bridge and it was so much fun? And like, that's the kind of stuff that they remember, and that I taught them excuses. Did y'all have to learn excuses And yes. Alpha Sorority Incorporated?
Yes.
What's y'all's
Tools of incompetence. Now, I can't spit it all verbatim.
I was about to say, I didn't mean for this to be a pop quiz.
When I tell you there are certain things that, of course, I keep locked in center, but there are some things that because of trauma and even to when you were talking about Caleb and that situation at Southern University, there's a lot of conversations that need to happen as it relates to the building. So mm-hmm. breaking someone to build them up concept yeah. and ideology yeah. and how damaging that is. And so things of like for having sure. to repeat and to spit things and to recall, I struggle with that to this day mm-hmm. due to the fact that that was something that was expected, required. And if you didn't have it in the way that it was supposed to be, you were retaliated against. Mm-hmm. And so that is something where I know that that's off subject on what we were talking about, but
well, not really, because I wanted to ask you if you wanted to talk about that. But just for the record, I want to tell you. So excuses are tools of the incompetent, built upon the foundation of nothingness, and those who use them seldom amount to anything. So that's the version that we had, and it was something that stuck with me. So I taught it to my students, and I've had them reach out remembering. I've had them tell me that they taught it to their kids. And it was really because I don't want to hear did your homework done or is it ain't? It's not. Okay. How can we get it done? Like what happened? What don't come up? You ain't got to tell me a sob story and all the dramatics and all. Hey, what's the problem? Let's fix it. Right. Because I wanted them to also think about accountability and like just owning it. I didn't complete it in time. I didn't plan properly. I didn't do whatever. Again, how can we fix it? You know, so that was like my purpose behind it. But and in addition to what you said, to your point about the types of things that have happened in intake processes and the breaking down to build up. I know Kalanda and I talked about Caleb Wilson on So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese. And I kept thinking, I was like, I wonder if Bianca want to talk about this, because I know that your process was not very affirming and left some lasting impact. So I'm curious what you might want to share.
I want to share that seeing the story broke my heart. And I think the part that really infuriated me the most is that these individuals that wanted to have him as a brother did not show any brotherly attributes as it relates to being honest and forthright with what all occurred during the investigation. As far as my process and my journey, for those of you that don't know, I am a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And my process and intake was something that I am still healing from. Mm-hmm. It is something where I have had to look at myself in the mirror and to affirm myself, because I had individuals that called me a sister, but weren't very sisterly. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of put downs. It was a lot of comparison. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of demeaning language and harm. And while I love my line sisters and I love the organization, I disassociated from a lot of it because of the harm and the trauma that I am still actively healing from. I never want my sister or someone that I love and care about to go through what I went through. And I know that there are some other members that have gone through situations that was much worse than what I've gone through. So to see the conversation about Caleb, whether it's individuals who have been a part of the D9 institution, or those that have attempted to be in the D9 institution, or those that are just on the outside and have their thoughts. I've seen a lot of commentary as it relates to this particular incident. And I pray for the family as they're grieving through this. But I'm going to say and be very bold and unapologetic about it, that if D9 as a whole don't get their stuff together, there is not going to be an insurance company that's going to be able to hold the insurance of this, and D9 will not be a thing anymore. In fact, there are certain universities and institutions that are looking to eradicate Black Student Union. So guess what? That also is going to apply to some of these organizations as well. And I don't understand how we have gotten this far away from service and scholarship.
Mm-hmm. And sisterhood and, or brotherhood.
And sisterhood and brotherhood. The fact that the ideology and the thought process is, I'm going to break you down to build you back up, is something that needs to be eradicated. It is harming people. It's already hard enough to get into these universities. And then when you get there, you want to be included in these spaces. And then you're being called all types of things. You're being hit on, spat on, all types of stuff. And it's not appropriate. It is not right. It is not fair. And my chapter ended up being suspended because of some stuff that went down.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my chapter, Mu Theta. I do.
Yeah.
However, comma, there are some women that have gone through the process that wants to be like, I went through this process and this process was tough for me. I'm going to make sure that it was tough for the next person to go through it. Or how can I outshine? And then egos come into play. And then that's what one of the issues that we had was egos. Mm-hmm. Different people wanted to lead and do different things. And then because everyone's doing their own thing, there's no process.
Yeah.
The process is everywhere.
Yeah.
And it looks foolish because, again, where's the scholarship? Where's the sisterhood? A lot of these chapters are not even able to be a chapter because of the chapter GPA. So where's the scholarship?
Mm.
And we hitting on people and we're harming people and we chanting and all of that type of stuff. And you want to be in the limelight and you out here harming people, your people. For what?
I think there are so many factors that that go into it. One of the main factors being, especially in undergrad, we're talking about 20-somethings. And I think we have to really keep in mind that the frontal lobe is not fully developed until we're 25. So without, and you know that at many times advisors are just there in theory, you know, because everything else is happening behind the scenes. That's supposed to be the person that is the voice of wisdom in the room and to ensure that there is safety in the processes, right? But the official process is not the process that is causing harm. The official process is the process that is focused on sisterhood and scholarship and service and, you know, the history of the organization and how it was founded and all. That's the process. That is what the process is supposed to be. And I think what has happened is the quality that is put, the quality of your existence in the organization, specifically in undergrad. And if you pledge sophomore year for 3 years and sometimes longer, depending on whether you're a grad student or what have you, the focus is put on being made or not. And that is just not, that's not what we're doing anymore. So our chapter got suspended as well. So let me go back and define some things for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what these terms mean, because while they are very common to us, they may not be to everybody else. So D9 organizations are the 9 Black Greek letter organizations. They're called Divine Nine for short, or D9. Those organizations are Alpha Phi Alpha, Alpha Kappa Alpha, Kappa Alpha Psi, Omega Psi Phi, Delta Sigma Theta, Phi Beta Sigma, Zeta Phi Beta, and Sigma Gamma Rho, and Iota Phi Theta. I always forget them. But those are the nine. I know it was, it don't be on purpose, but it do. But anyway, so those are the Divine Nine organizations. And all of the organizations at their grand chapters, so whatever iteration of what you call it, so like the people that's at the top, all of the organizations have a president, a board, like there is an organization, have declared that all of the organizations are non-hazing organizations. One of the issues is not really understanding what hazing is completely, because I shared on So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese, one of the first instances that I had of hazing is I was eating lunch in the cafeteria. I just so happened to be by myself. I had gotten some fruit punch and somebody came by and took my drink off my tray. And as a 19-year-old, what just happened? Because I'm eating and I'm like, what is happening right now? But also you kind of put the pieces together and realize, oh, they're looking at me to be a part of this organization. Hazing is so anything that is being done to humiliate, to cause someone to fall in line, to dangle something in front of their face. And if you don't do these particular things, then this is what's going to happen or this is what's not going to happen. So it happens in so many forms and so many ways and so many different organizations. It doesn't just happen with Black people. It definitely happens in white people world. We are Black, though, and we are a part of D9. So that is why we are talking about it in this particular way. But I just wanted to make all that clear. And also to say, so I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and this year will be, what year is this? 25? This will be 24 years that I've been a part of the organization. My process also was not necessarily affirming, but it also wasn't necessarily a breakdown to build you up type thing. And that's not to say that they were responsible, because they weren't. They were very irresponsible with us, because also the other thing is hazing is illegal, and it's illegal to be done, and it's illegal to participate in. So everybody has to sign paperwork saying you agree not to do this, not to haze somebody, and you also agree not to be hazed. It is not a part of the official organization. But what happens is if you say something, now you're ostracized, and now you are treated like less than and what have you. There are two people on my line who chose to no longer participate in bonding activities, and we don't have a relationship with them, like, at all, because they weren't there, you know. So it's like there are consequences to choosing to participate, choosing not. But I brought all that up because you said your chapter had gotten taken away. Ours did too, for 10 years, and the amount of time that the chapter is suspended is matching like the gravity of the offenses or what have you. And I just remember being so disappointed, because when we brought in the line that we brought in, we were very intentional about making sure that harm wasn't caused and that there was purpose behind anything that was being asked. So like for me, I used to have to go, people be like, go buy me something to eat. Go make me a sandwich. Go to, girl, the type of things I could tell you that I did. Because why are you treating me this way? I don't understand what's happening, right? I never asked anybody to buy me anything. I never asked anybody to go do nothing for me outside of, I would like to have an appointment to talk to you about how you are processing your process. And so you have somebody that you can ask questions to, right? Now, because of that, I also don't have a really good relationship with the line that I brought in, because I wasn't there. You know what I mean? So, but also I was trying to graduate. So my priorities were in order. You know what I mean? But there are so many dynamics that go into it. So when our chapter got taken away and the girls came back, so the chapter came back on Yard, and some people were like, oh, they don't know this. They don't know this song. They don't know this sign. They don't know this whatever. And it was like, hey, this is not their fault. Because if we would have did what we were supposed to do, the traditions would still be getting passed down. But because we decided to be power hungry, we couldn't wait to make somebody feel worse than we felt, whatever the narrative was. Now, the girls that are here now, they have what they have because they weren't brought in by Alpha Beta. They were brought in by Nashville Metro. And nobody from Alpha Beta could participate. So the versions of the founder step that we had, or like all of that stuff died because poor choices were made. But we can't fault the new people for having a different type of process when those of us who were older fucked it up for them. They have the process that they have, and they're doing the best that they can with what they had. But if we would have been responsible with our traditions and responsible with people's brains and souls and like all of that, then we would be able to still pass that stuff down. But also, that means that we have to reach back and be intentional about sharing the stories. It's the same way in our families. You know, like we got to be intentional about keeping history alive and understanding what's happening, but we can't fault them that they don't know. How are they supposed to know? How? Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, I struggled to still find words about what has happened. And even I got word the other day that someone's daughter was about to get ready to go through the process. And I reached out to the mom and I was like, talk to me about what you're feeling, because I know it's a lot right now. And how do you honor the desire that your young person has to be a part of this service organization, service? How do you honor that while also understanding that if you say something about what is happening, you're taking that away from them? But they are young. They want to belong. They want to be. That's the whole reason that you join the organization, is to have a sisterhood. You know, I never had sisters. So I was very much like, oh, wow, I get to have sisters. Like, this is so cool. And a lot of people are looking for that and wanting to do that in this particular way. But then we wind up tainting it for them. And then here you are. 10, 15, 20 years later, still trying to process. There's definitely stuff I don't remember, for sure. People be like, you remember the such and such? And I'd be like, I'm talking milestones. Like, I don't remember being there. I thought that was a dream. Really? They're showing me myself in pictures. Nope. I don't remember that. No idea, you know? So it's a lot that goes into it. And I just, anyone who is wanting to join the organization, I want to say that's your personal choice, right? Because there's a lot of denouncing right now. There's a lot of course, after this incident, you know, people saying the organization is the devil. Like, it's a lot. It's just a lot that's going on. And I'm not here to tell you to do it or not to do it. But if you do choose to pursue membership in one of the Divine Nine organizations, please make sure that you are protecting yourself, because you cannot get yourself back after experiencing certain things. And I would prefer for you to wait until you graduate and do grad chapter, if that is really the desire. Than to put yourself through something that you got to figure out how to heal from, how to repair from, or worst case scenario, you're not even here anymore. Like, that's a lot. It shouldn't be as large of a decision as it is, because it never felt like life or death. You know, it was hard. I lost a lot of weight because, again, when I get stressed out, I'm not eating. I'm not. So I'm tired. I'm going to sleep and I will drink water. I remember one of my friends, Leslie, bless her heart. She used to live on the floor with me and she used to be like, Kim, you've got to eat something. And I'd be like, girl, I am tired. Thank God for Easy Mac, because other than that, how did I make it? You know, it was tough, but I never felt like my life was in danger. That was never a thought in my mind that somebody would make a mistake and do something. And now I never even felt like I was going to have to go to the hospital. Like, and that's like, nobody was hitting on me. Like nobody would, that was not happening. So it's hard to imagine for me of somebody putting their hands on me and me supposed to being able to just take it. Like that wasn't what happened to me at all. You know? So yeah.
Yeah. I'm experiencing so much emotion as we talk about this, because just as you were sharing about your experience, I started to just get like visions and flashbacks of me being on the campus of the University of North Florida and wanting to be a part of a sisterhood and feeling like I can't even be who I am. Like I was chastised for my sexuality. Mm-hmm. And was chastised by the clothing choices that I wore. And when I tell you, it was nothing but a bunch of put downs until it was time to do work. And it was like, oh, can you do this, 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 and this? Can you run this event? Can you do that? And of course, for the organization, I'll show up and do. But there are some members that are a part of my chapter that I will never speak to, that will never get my energy from me because of what I've experienced from them and the harm that has been caused. And again, been very vulnerable to say that I am still actively healing from my journey and my process of becoming a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And I pray for those who are still healing through their journey too. And I hope that we normalize a lot more of these conversations, because it was like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
To be like, who has gone through the most trauma? And that's not right. That Correct. Is not okay. And I'm just saying that once these insurance companies realize how much of a liability these processes are, because people are not following them with fidelity, and these insurance companies decide to strip away insuring these organizations in order for them to operate in business, then it will no longer become a business and an organization. And then this will be gone.
Yeah. And that's inevitable. I'm glad you brought that back up, because that is what is about to happen. I don't know what kind of conversations that they're having. I hope they're having them with a real life lens of what is happening in real life right now, especially in the United States of America. But that's inevitable, because so I've been watching. I don't know what your thoughts were like about the one day boycott. Like, we never talked about it or whatever. And the supposed Target boycott and all of that. And just the state, I saw your post about DEI, excuse me, and another organization having to close their doors and, you know, you sunsetting their website and like all of that. That's where everything is headed right now. And for some reason, I guess I'm confused, because I feel like there continues to be surprise every time that it happens. And I don't understand like why there is surprise, because even when organizations were saying we're rolling back our DEI policies, we're doing this and that. Of course they are. It is illegal to in the U.S. right now to talk about any of this. So if they are going to stay as a business, of course they have to change their policies if it's illegal. So I don't understand the outrage, if you will. Like, y'all want, like, people are like, boycott Target. First of all, Target has had done a lot for Black creators and creatives and all of that, right? Okay, so they make it illegal. Target says, okay, we're going to change our policies. Then people are like, okay, let's not shop at Target. Do you know how much it took for those Black creators to get into Target? So now you're not buying their products. You're not going the extra mile to buy directly from them. So now they just losing, period. So in your effort to quote unquote boycott with no plan, by the way, because there is no long-term plan. So with no plan, you are hurting the very people that you claim to be trying to help. And it's just, it's all very, it's really, I'm confused. I'm confused because it seems like people are not acknowledging the what is actually happening and are looking for businesses or whomever to be the saving grace against a dictatorial administration that is doing whatever the hell they want to do. Why y'all mad at Target? Like, what? I'm just curious about your thoughts.
I'm glad that you asked. So something that I've often said a lot is we cannot have selective outrage and participation.
You
so
sure have.
With that being stated, I'm looking at the millions of people who sat at home and decided not to vote, who decided that they did not want to engage in the voting process and are now having conversations about the ramifications of their lack of participation. As it relates to strategy and the boycott, you know, there were different people that was like, I'm the one that started this boycott movement. And there's people fighting about the creator of that, similar to Hillman Talk.
Oh, wow.
And in that, I do think that holding companies accountable is one thing and being intentional with where you spend your dollars. Mm-hmm. However, comma, the policy is the policy. And in order for these companies to stay afloat, which we are seeing a lot of these companies are scaling back and a lot of them are filing for bankruptcy and changing a lot. The one day boycotts never worked. For example,
I don't can you help me understand what it was supposed to do?
So I've watched several pieces of content of people promoting the boycott, and there's different thoughts and feelings that have came out. So I'll unpack some of them. So
can you I'm gonna have you on my ear. I'm sorry to be ghetto like this during the recording. I'm gonna have you on my ear, but I need to get some honey for my tea. And I wanna tell you about my tea journey in a little bit, but I wanna drink it and it's yes, so indeed. Not right now. So I'm gonna mute myself, but are you gonna be on my ear and I wanna hear what you are saying. Okay.
Okay. so my feeling is one, there are some creators that are like, we need to hit these companies where it hurt. And by prioritizing your dollars elsewhere will impact the company's bottom line. And just in generic economic terms, sure, supplier demand, if you reduce the demand, then there's going to be issues with the supplier, okay? There were other people that were saying that this was to make a message that our dollars have power, in which if we're just talking about Black dollars for a moment, because I'm a Black person that studies Black economics, the buying power of Black people, trillions of dollars. So while I understand the concept of showing the power of your money, I'm also then like, okay, and what's the sustainability plan here? Because I'm looking at some prominent Black businesses that are in Target, for example, Tabitha Brown, where at one point, the same people who were buying her products was then saying that she needed to remove her products from Target and boycott her and to cancel her because she was standing firm with having her stuff where it was at.
Yeah.
Or the lip bar with Melissa. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. again, having all of these different products in Target and they have to make an income. They have to be able to sell their merchandise in order for their families. And then there was a whole dynamic and split between people who don't even have a business versus people who do have a business, right, about what the bottom line looks like and just sustainability of that. It has been a lot of conversation and banter about it. But again, I'm just like, again, back to selective outrage and participation, because the policy is the policy. So how these companies move is based on the policy. And if you decide not to shop at Amazon, then okay. But also note that it's going to hurt the people who look like us, who are working in the warehouses or who's working the delivery.
They will be the
first ones that are impacted by that.
Yeah.
So while I understand the sentiment and I get it, Gucci had a whole black mask type of product and it was a whole outrage about it. And people still to this day shopping Gucci and wearing Gucci and is all. So, I mean, again, we can't have selective outrage. We cannot have selective outrage and participation. We can't. It's not sustainable for us too. And unfortunately, how fragmented we are with the amount of information and misinformation that's out there. People don't know what's real, not real. And then with AI confusing everybody in it, people definitely don't know what's real and not real, because people don't even know if what looks AI or sounds AI or not at this point. We're in a very dangerous place.
I agree. And I'm so grateful that you laid it out like that, because that is kind of like the layers of things that have to be thought about. It was the lack of strategy for me. Like there's not a strategy that we're using. And also, like, people like to compare this to the Montgomery bus boycott. And I think what people fail to understand is Montgomery was one city. At a day and time when access to information was limited, where the only places that you got pertinent information was like at church or, you know, door to door type thing. We are talking about millions of people of trying to get everybody on the same page. That's not about to happen. So there has to be different types of strategies to be able to make headway in the movement. And I can say for me personally, I have just decided that I'm not going to spend my energy strategizing against machines that have the ability to run around me in 27,000 circles a second. You know, it doesn't feel like a good expending. It feels useless and it makes me feel helpless. And I know that there are other things that I can be doing. So one of the things that I decided to do is to focus on my own healing journey, right? Hello, heal that shit. Because I cannot, like, one of the strategies that the government uses in order to prevent people from organizing is keeping you in a state of survival, a state of disease, a state of a heightened nervous system where you're not able to focus or do anything. And I am a person who is very susceptible to that. So when shit's awry, I can't function. I can't. It's a lot for me to get myself together and back on track. So I really had to make a decision that I've got to figure out how to help me get stabilized. And everything right now has to be about helping me to be stabilized, not taking all of this energy and fighting a losing fight. You know, I hate to put it like that, but, because I've asked you this so many times over the past couple of years, like, what does advocacy look like for you right now? And how is that shifting? Because the way that we were advocating before, so for instance, the way I bust on the scene in minding my black ass business was, let me tell y'all what's happening down there at the Department of Education. This shit's wild. Like, let me tell y'all what happened. Black woman experiencing trauma, like, da da da, all this. They weren't trying to hear that shit. People was not trying to hear that shit at all. But now we've had all of these situations happen. Like people have unalived themselves because of things that have been happening. And now, now we listening. But guess what? I'm done talking now. Because now I need to be that intentional about making sure I'm all right. Because while, and I know you can relate to this, while I'm out here creating content and not necessarily entertainment, but just making sure that people are informed about the shit that's happening, and I'm recounting stories and sharing videos and like, just, hey, like, I need you. We need you. Like, pay attention. Ain't nobody listening. Ain't nobody like, it's like, y'all not listening to the words that's coming out of my mouth. And now that is happening, now everybody's up in arms. I can't join you there because I tried to tell you about this way ahead of time so that we could have a strategy, so that we could have a plan. I talked about, hey y'all, I'm leaving the US. I'm out of here because no. The type of things that are happening is wild, and it's only going to get wilder. And now that it's wilder, it's like, I had made some videos back in 2022. Y'all probably want to go check those out and bring yourself up to speed. But I can't continue to be in this heightened state and this news cycle and like the things that I have, like, I cannot. So my advocacy now looks like, how can I stabilize my nervous system? How can I be intentional with the things that I'm consuming, whether that be food, drink, videos, social media? Like, how can I be intentional with that so that I can create a state of peace for myself? Because the world is only about to get worse. We are on the brink of another world war. It is happening. World powers are shifting. People are being strong-armed into selling their countries to become states. Like, these things are happening in real life. It's actually happening. So we got to accept that. And then the question is, now that you know that, how are you going to save you? What does that look like and what does that sound like? So for me, see.
So tell me, friend, you've been really excited about going and getting new tea and all of that. So catch me up. And also, what type of tea you drinking today? How did you make the tea? I seen the teapot, kettle, and the glass. Look cute, girl. Okay, so talk to me about this.
So I've been wanting to be a tea girly for a long time, and I feel like we've talked about this. And I know you're also on your own tea journey. But... basically, where do I even start? Let me start at what I'm drinking today. So today I made a calendula, which is marigolds. What is it? Calendula, orange, lime juice, and honey. So that's the tea this morning. Last night, I made a hibiscus tea with lime. No, with orange and honey. So right now I'm just being like pretty simple because I want to like see how the teas are impacting me. And as a scientist, you can't have too many variables. So I'm just trying to see what's happening now. I am actually, what's motivating all of this is some health concerns that I have had. And they've been consistent and persistent, and I don't understand. And I've had so many tests run and asked so many questions about what's going on. And everybody keeps saying everything's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. And I'm like, I'm not fine, though. I know I'm not. Like, I know my body and I don't understand what's happening. So in that, it really caused me to start. It's almost like doing an elimination diet. Like if you had some type of allergy and you just didn't know what was fucking you up. So it's like, okay, everything got to go and we got to start over. So it kind of feels like that, of me just having to be really intentional about what I'm consuming and then paying attention to how that's impacting me. So I went to the market yesterday. So, well, let me even start. So Kalanda had went to Peru. And while she was in Peru, she met this lady named Amber. And Amber has been practicing herbalism for 25 years. She shared with me that it was her kids that got her into herbalism. Some things were happening with them, and she really was trying to figure out what was going on, because they were like, I think she said maybe eczema or something like that. So she was like really trying to figure out what was happening. And again, did like an elimination diet, what have you, and got interested in herbalism. So Kalanda met her and then introduced me to her. So last week or whatever day that was, we went to the botanical garden and just kind of had some conversations about herbalism. And I, you know, was like, I'm very new to the process, but I have very much been shifting towards plant-based everything, as opposed to specifically like with medicine and like all that kind of stuff. I just feel better when I have things that I know where they come from versus synthetic. And then it's also difficult being outside the U.S. and realizing how much damage the U.S. has done with intention to us as Black people. It just makes me not want to trust anything at all, unless I know where it's coming from. So I've kind of been shifting to that space over time. And herbalism is huge. It's a science. Like, it's a whole, I have a friend right now who's getting a master's in herbalism. Like, it's deep. It runs deep and wide. So it's like, where do you start? where do you start with everything? So I felt like the easiest place for me to start would be with tea, because instead of going to the grocery, I don't know why I got the hiccups, y'all. I'm trying to get my shit together. My bad. Instead of going to the grocery store and buying tea bags, which I understand that the tea bags are the scraps from the flowers or from the leaves, you get the actual dried flower, the actual dried leaf, and now it's closer to the source, as opposed to having gone through this process of the manufacturing and like all this and that. So that already felt like better to me. So we went to the market yesterday and ran across the booth. Okay. It's booth 81, which is the year that I was born. So that's very easy to remember. But when I tell you, they had everything up in that piece. It was all kinds of flowers and leaves and herbs and seasonings and spices and seeds. And like, I was like, oh my God, I think I have found the place, at least here. But because I've been over this time, just really, I've said many times, like, Colombia feels healing to me. I feel a deeper connection to indigenous practices here. Like, it doesn't seem to be taboo for people to lean on holistic practices and stuff like that. Like, it's not unheard of. Whereas I feel like in the U.S., you know, they crunchy granola and you out and like all that kind of stuff. And there's so much judgment about not trusting the pharmaceutical industry, as if there is not hella evidence for why we shouldn't, right? But anyway, so I feel like I have access to so many more things. So yesterday I bought like a few different herbs. I also got some mint, and I got manzanilla, which is chamomile, and the calendula. I got lavender. It smells so good. Like, it is. I want to be the person who has all these jars of things on shelves and has an herb garden and like has the person who knows how to help myself be myself. You know, Amber was saying to me, I was telling her I had my little balcony garden, and she was like, oh, what you growing? So I'm like, you know, I got some mint and some onions and some rosemary. So she said, oh, rosemary is excellent. Just go out there and take a couple leaves and just chew them. Just, yep. And I was like, okay. So she's like, yeah, rosemary oil is phenomenal. Or like growing oregano. Oregano oil is an amazing antibacterial, antifungal, antimicrobial agent. And so having access to fresh oregano to a plant allows you to get it again directly from the source, which is so interesting. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm on the ramp also. I'm very serious about what I'm talking about. In the U.S., when we would get food, our food never had roots attached. Our food was like so divorced from the process of coming from the dirt that I feel like if somebody were to bring you some cilantro that had roots attached and dirt hanging from the roots, I would have been in my former life been like, why are you giving, where is this coming from? Why you ain't clean this up before you put this out here? And I really had to do a lot of work with reframing and reestablishing my relationship with food, one, but two, with where food comes from. Because here, it's coming out the ground. Like they pulled it out and was like, here you go. Fresh. Can't get no fresher. Can't get no, it's right here. I'm the farmer. I pulled it up this morning. Here you go. Like that now feels like the goal. Whereas that wasn't really the goal before. So I'm really on this, I don't even know what to call it, this spiritual awakening, herbalism, using food as medicine, intentionality journey about the things that I am eating.
I don't know, but I found these results on church.
Girl, I'm
yes,
not
so indeed. Right now.
What was she listening to? I don't even know. But yeah, so that's the journey that I'm on right now. So I'm a pause there because I also want to ask you some questions too. But I'm a pause there because I know you probably have thoughts or questions.
I do. So as far as your journey and getting into these different teas and different herbs, how are you documenting this process?
So I definitely have been, and shout out to you for asking me a question I always ask. Ha, ha, ha. But not this up for coming with how you documenting the process. Girl, get out of here. No, I definitely was, took some footage of it, while I was there. And even last night when I was making my tea, I was like, I don't know if this is how this is supposed to go, y'all. I ain't never did this. Like, do I put the teapot on the stove or like what happens? I don't know. I'm recording and I'm paying attention to it. But what I also want to do, what I was thinking about the other day, is I finally think I know what I want to do for my newsletter, because these types of things are things that I want to blog about, of getting into this world, because I know that this world is, like I said, vast and deep. So I really want to appreciate this time right now of being a beginner and discovering things and being like, oh my God, this worked, y'all. For instance, the way that I felt about that soup, when Ratatouille told me to make that soup and I was feeling so horrible, and I made that soup and it made my stomach feel better and it was delicious and I was able to keep it in, I was like, sir, you got my attention. You have my attention, because what just happened here? You know, so I am being much more intentional about that. I also got another journal. So I have been journaling more often so that I can keep track of everything. But yeah, I'm figuring out what the master plan looks like to put all this stuff out there. And you know, when it comes to editing content for me, that is the bane of my existence. So that's where I get the glitching and shit. But I definitely am documenting. So whether it comes out this year or whether it comes out next year.
Yes, indeed.
I am documenting the process. So yeah.
Yes, indeed. I'm excited for this.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So talk to me about your tea journey. And the other thing I was going to say, what I said, I had some questions I wanted to ask you about was your morning routine, because all three of us have been sitting here like, I got to have a routine together. Right. So I'm curious about that, because I know that tea seems like it's become a part of your routine. So I would love for you to talk about your routine. And then also I would like to share about mine, too, because I've been figuring some things out, too.
Yeah. So I'm still in like the development stages of what my morning routine looks like, particularly because in a new environment and when things change, it takes me a minute to get acclimated to it. But I would get up around like 6, 7-ish. I've realized and recognized that I'm spending a lot of time looking at content on my phone in the morning before I actually get the day started. So that's like room for improvement and things that I need to rework, because historically I wouldn't want to sleep with the phone in the room. But because of the layout, because of the phone is in the room. So now of that being like being mindful of my time of what I spend, and instead of laying in the bed for a couple of hours, scrolling on the internet and responding to things, being more intentional of how I start that off. But I do get up and I do take my medicine. That is something that is required of me because of my pacemaker in my heart. So I go and take my medicine. Usually when I take my medicine, I have something like this that I will consume, which this is an applesauce pouch for those that can't read the words here. And I will consume my medicine and have that. And then after I take my medicine, then I'll have some tea. There is some tea that is already packaged that I like, that I found in the journey of just ordering different stuff here. And so I really like it. They have different flavors. I just grab one. I warm up the tea, put some honey in it. Sometimes I put some coconut oil in there and let it do what it do. I drink my tea, and then that's when I get ready to start to meditate. So I've been more intentional with my meditation, period. And I thank God for it, because before I want to open my laptop and to start the day, I want to at least ground myself. So there are times where I actually have meditation with my partner, where we're actually putting it on the TV, meditating together in our space. Or in the place that we're staying, they have a place upstairs that is beautiful, that have a lot of greenery, seating area. And I've gone up there several times to journal, to meditate, to just take my time. And then I'll come and start my day. And so that is like the morning flow. So rooms of improvement here is one, being mindful of the time that I'm spending on my phone when I wake up. Two, then starting to like plan my day a little bit better more. So going through my calendar, being like, what meetings do I have today? What are some of the things that I need to get done, and actually writing those out? I feel like if I don't write those out, then I'm least likely to accomplish the things that I said I wanted to do. And then the task list is forever growing, which has been a constant low when we do our high and low check-ins of, like this list is growing of things that I need to
exponentially, do. Exponentially, bro, about a day.
So how to, you know, prioritize my time a little bit better. But yeah, that's my morning routine as of now.
And I'm always curious about the times that that happens. So like you said that you might wake up, like your eyes might open like somewhere around 6 or 6:30. So then what time do you find yourself transitioning, for instance, to meditation and meditation space?
So meditation time is usually between 9 and 10, which means that I'm either up and down on my phone for at least two and a half hours before I really get up and start the day. So that's why I'm like, I've been really hyper focused on that, because I'll get on a rabbit hole. And then I'll open another rabbit hole. And then,
of course, that has control of your whole day now.
And then now, then if I'm like, oh, let me check my email. Well, then that's when the floodgates open.
Absolutely.
And so that's something where I want to be intentional of like, I don't, it's to the point where I don't even want the email app on my phone. I know that's not like the best.
Not wanting notifications. Don't even want the app.
Yeah, I've been scaling back on notifications because it has been a lot. And and I want to be like, okay, so I want to check my email during these scheduled times and that be that, because the minute that I check my email on something, then my mind is like, okay, so how do I fix this? How do I resolve this? How do I do this? But that wasn't on my list to do at that time. Throws me completely off of, now I'm again chasing ambulances, fighting fires, as you say.
Yeah.
Because now I've opened this can of worms of not having it structured from the get-go.
Understood. I resonate very deeply. So I'm kind of toying with two things right now. So because of me messing up the dates with Andrea coming and having to wake up at 6 a.m. twice times, in a week, which is not my normal. And I was talking to a psychologist the other day, and she was telling me that during sunrise, there are benefits to having like sunrise light. And I forget all the things. I'll have to look it up and talk to ChatGPT about it, but like there are benefits to having sunrise light. And it really made me think about what my aversion is to being up that early. And for me, it really all has to do with quiet. I want peace and quiet. And while I get that in those early hours of the morning that is quiet, then everything gets so loud for the rest of the day. And it's just a lot for me. So what I asked myself the other day is if I want to try waking up at sunrise, maybe going to the meditation floor, doing whatever meditation or journaling or what have you, and then just coming back and taking a nap and just allowing myself to then ease into the noise of the day, because it's a lot. Like, it just be a lot. And I don't know. Do you experience overstimulation from like noise and things like that?
Yes.
It be so much for me. And it'd be like, oh God, because there's construction that's near where we stay. And construction is like one of my really big triggers. I just, my brain, the frequency, it just drives my brain nuts. So I've been thinking about different ways to combat that. One of those ways is brown noise is what I've been using, and it drowns out the jackhammers. It's the jackhammers specifically that be hammering my ass into oblivion. Okay. In my superhero story, that's going to be the damn kryptonite, the motherfucking jackhammers.
Okay. Yes, indeed.
But anyway, so I've realized that brown noise helps to drown that out. So when I'm working here in my room, I usually have brown noise on my Google Home so that I can drown out all of that background noise, because otherwise my brain is not functioning. And the other thing that I realized is I really have to be intentional with lighting and lights. So right now I'm experimenting with this like golden. So I haven't gotten to the sunrise situation yet, but I'm simulating that in the bathroom and in my room when I wake up. So I put on the golden light, which feels like sunlight, and it feels like just a soft like awakening into the day. And then I have a specific grounding meditation, which is Landrell, ground yourself root chakra. So that's kind of how it plays automatically at 9 a.m. So I'm still shifting times and stuff, but as of right now, it plays at 9 a.m. So while that is going on, I usually am taking my medicine and allowing my brain to kind of just wake up, like we're here. What are the thoughts that we have in our spirit today? Then I'll play. So Google lives in here. Alexa lives in the bathroom. So then I'll go to the shower or go to the bathroom and put the same like orangish yellow light on and have ground yourself on in there. I brush my teeth. I start the shower. You know me and my shower routine. It's like, it's a thing. And I'm grateful that I'm feeling safer in the shower. Yesterday and today, I even closed my eyes in the shower and just allowed myself to just be there for a moment. And it's felt refreshing because of the light. It feels like it's a sunlight shower. Because of the meditation, it feels very calming and grounding. I have my eucalyptus in the shower. I have my bath products. The shower is actually very spacious and I really like it a lot, actually. And it just gives me a moment to actually enjoy and connect. And that has probably been the biggest game changer, because bathrooms, it's paralyzing for me when I don't feel comfortable in the space. It really, it's hard to even describe. So I'm really, really grateful for that. So that light combination as well as the grounding meditation has been a game changer. Then what I started doing yesterday was I listened to my own affirmation video. And I need to do that more often. I need to hear myself talking to myself. Every time I hear the affirmation video, I'd be like, girl, you was in your bag with these. Like, you really did that. And that video probably has, which in some YouTubers' world, this is not a lot, but in my world, it's gigantic. There are like 19,000 views on that video. And you can look in the analytics and see like the real time of what's been watched, like in the past hour and like all of that. So every morning, there are like 3 to 5 people that are in the past hour, whatever time I'm looking at it, that have played the video. And so I really said to myself, like, I need to tap into this. Apparently this is doing something here in the universe and I'm not even listening to it. So I started listening to it with intention yesterday and as well as today. And that felt really good to my spirit and really calming and just reminding me not just of the affirmations, but the fact that I'm the one who created these. Like I did this. Like, this is really dope. So it makes me feel like I should put some respect on my name. Yes, and it's also inspired me to create another one. And I've been wanting to do that for a really long time. And I finally feel like with having the setup here at the desk, and like having things in places where they're going to be, it makes it feel easier to just sit down and record or just sit down and have a podcast. Or like, because I be getting amazing ideas in the shower. The other day I was like, I need to do a podcast called Shower Thoughts. And when I get out the shower, I just need to sit down for 10 minutes and be like, let me tell y'all what I was thinking about in the shower today. Because it could be a gambit of things. I be in there laughing. I be in there crying. I be in it. Like, it could be all kinds of things that I'm talking about. But I really want to get back into that. I miss when I used to, when I was making my season one of my podcast, when I would be like, okay, I'm going to record and put this out. I miss that. So I've been looking for a way to honor where I am now and kind of create like a season two of this is what's been happening since that first season, because that first season ends with my mental health crisis and me like processing what had just happened. And then I just kind of didn't say nothing else. So I feel like I am ready to come back with season two and talk about this new journey, whether that's the herbalism, my morning routine, shower thoughts, like whatever, and just have some time to reflect. So yeah, that's where I am.
Yes, indeed. I love this. And I love how you're like, it's time to put respect on my name and to turn the mic on and to do this in a different way. I love this because I resonate deeply with that. Like putting up the podcast equipment today just felt so good. And it just brought back so many memories of how people are like, I miss hearing your voice. And so now I'm like, okay, so going back to the essential question that we talked about earlier, what does advocacy look like for you? Mm-hmm. And I've really been deeply reflecting on this, as you know, where I've been battling this for some time now. But my main thing was I needed to advocate for myself before I can advocate for someone else.
For sure.
And now that I'm in this space where I'm like, okay, now like spirit check wise, like I'm blue with, you know, some green sparkles. Like I'm okay.
We gotta remind the people what those mean.
So like I'm blue, right?
So blue is I'm good. I don't have any complaints.
And then there's some like some purple in there.
Mm.
But then there's also some yellow in there.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm like across this spectrum of different mm-hmm. things. Solid on solid. I'm good. Like God mm-hmm. is good. I'm strong on my faith. However, things could be better, and I also need support.
Understood. What would you say that you feel like you need support with?
So at this present moment, the thing that is like constantly ruminating in my mind is teaching for the culture
mm-hmm.
and what has been built and what is next for it. And what does advocacy look like as it relates to our children and education and the politics of that? I truly struggle. I truly struggle with the whole trademark dispute and having an individual create an organization, reducing the ING and thinking that it was going to be something that could work and be standing while mm-hmm. there's a active organization that is called Teaching for the Culture. And then you say, mm-hmm. I want to be Teach for the Culture and think that there's not going to be a conflict. I struggled with the whole process of like paying all this money to protect the name and then being like, right now, Teaching for the Culture is dormant at this point. Yeah. While I appreciate the partners with the Sunshine Education Coalition, and there's some shows, Diversity and Equity in Education, that are in formation and have been producing content, and Miss D Reads with her reading of the books and providing overviews for parents of different book titles out there. I know that I haven't been active with advocating because I needed to advocate for myself. And so circling back to what does advocacy look like? I want to turn Teaching for the Culture into a media entity where we are mm-hmm. highlighting the things that are happening in the education and in the policy to impact our children and all aspects of transforming, educating, advocating, coaching, and healing. All of the components of what Teaching for the Culture is. And I had to sit with that and go through a grieving process of grieving what once was and grieving the content that will be removed in June due to the policy changes of Facebook. And I'm just I don't have the capacity to try to archive every single video and every single thing that has been produced since 2019. I can't do it. But also where I need support in is I'm really restructuring my life and business. Like I had a client that basically the work that I did for that client took care of everything for me. Mm-hmm, and because of the dynamics and the shiftings of that relationship, now there has to be some changes that happens as it relates to the structure of what my business looks like now. And that has been a struggle because I've been very vulnerable to say that I don't want to necessarily sit and design logos and websites for too much longer. I think that there are some people that I can help train, and there are some people that are already out there that do that work and would love to support them and cross promote and all of that. But I really want to be able to use my voice to be an author, to be a motivational speaker, to be that person, to be a life coach, to help, to facilitate conversations and to be a safe space and not necessarily get too bogged down in the execution of things.
Right.
And so just even planning and forecasting what that looks like has been a challenge. So overall, those are the things that I need support in and what I've been going through.
Understood. And thank you for contextualizing that. You know, I wore my teaching for the culture
yes,
shirt
indeed.
Today. Because I know that there's been a lot that has been going on with that and the updates and all the things that have been happening. And there's some, like, it's force shifting that's happening right now. You know, like, this has been a shift whether you like it or not. So might as well, you know, back to the beginning of accepting what is actually happening and moving in what is actually happening, not what I wish was happening, is a shift that I really feel right now for sure. So I definitely understand that. Anything else you wanted to share about your transparency moments?
I think the biggest thing that I've been thinking about is how I show up now and how do I represent myself? How do I tell people who I am? And I've really been enjoying the journey of experiencing love after heartbreak. And I feel really good in that department. So relationship check. Spiritually, I feel like I'm closer to God than I ever was and am continuing to have conversations with God being like, all right, bro, Sky Daddy, listen. There's some things I need some support and assistance with, and I'm surrendering to you, and I thank you for the blessings in advance. So spiritual check to the point, you're gonna love this, to the point where I've had conversations with my family about having family Bible study. And actually I'm going to curate that space to where we actually have time to where we can unpack the Bible and connect in that way. So I'm really, really excited about that. So check. Financially, I'm not where I want to be. And that is okay. I also recognize that there are some other people that are in the same boat that I am in or in some waters that are a little bit deeper. And so I am grateful that I am able to eat and to have a roof over my head and to be able to pay for the essential things that I need. However, I'm also in debt, and I have been in debt, and I am working my way of being debt free. And there are different solutions and remedies that I've been considering as it relates to this debt, and what strategies am I going to do? Am I going to do the strategy of filing for bankruptcy and starting over and having a refresh? That is something that I highly considered, considering the factors and considering what is happening in the United States, that I don't want to put additional stress on me to pay all this stuff off when a lot of this stuff was incurred in my previous marriage. So, or the other thing is continue to grind and allow God to provide and to be able to pay all this off that is sitting there due and owing, and be able to have abundance in that way. So financially, I'll get like I wouldn't do a check, but I'll do like a little period, because I recognize what the problem is. I know what I need to do. And ultimately I need to make a decision that's going to be best for me in order to move forward, considering all the factors. I don't need to purchase a home. I don't desire to purchase a home in the state. So as far as any type of markings on my report, I'm okay with that at this point. I've worked my way of having a credit score of 400 all the way to having a credit score in the high sevens, eights, to where I was able to get approved for cards that I wouldn't even think that I would have been able to get access to.
Yeah.
Having access to an Amex Platinum card was one of my things that I had on my vision board. I got it. So I don't necessarily want to subscribe to the capitalism of things anymore. And this process and journey of being a digital nomad and all of that, realizing that I could have just the bare necessities and still be content, that I don't need additional bags and I don't need additional stuff and I don't need additional gadgets in order to make things flow and work. And so being okay and normalizing that my spending habits haven't been the best. I made sacrifices for things and people that I shouldn't have. And I have to be accountable for the decisions that I make. And I will never co-sign for an apartment or anything for anybody else ever again. Best believe it.
Please.
Best believe
it. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I appreciated that rundown. I too, you know, am just these finances is off the chain. When you said like having access to a Platinum Amex, like all of that, I'm like, yeah, I had all of that. And then I couldn't work no more. So it was nice while I had it. And also, hello, bankruptcy, maybe. It's interesting. It's really interesting. It's something I think about a lot, of having felt like, okay, like we made it, like, all right, we got the things. And then the things get snatched away. And then it's like, okay. So I definitely get that. I am so happy that you are loved and happy. It makes me happy to see you happy. And I'm grateful that you're able to feel safe in that and not have to worry about that and what that looks like. So that's pretty dope. And family Bible study, huh? Okay.
Yeah. My dad is getting ready to preach for the first time since his surgery, where he had his entire voice box removed. And so I've been very transparent on this journey. If you've been watching this particular podcast, Heal That Shit, it has been a lot to witness my father be the person that is speaking and preaching, to where he has to find alternative ways to communicate because it is not accessible and it is different for him now. And so like I'm so ecstatic to just be able to have the resources to be able to visit and to go see and to witness and to surprise him. He has no idea that I'm coming.
Oh,
and I'm really excited to be able to sit there and watch him and to be there with him and to root for him and to cheer him on, because it has been a journey for him and God has a special assignment for him. We don't always agree, and that's okay. But what I do know is that I would not be the woman that I am today without my father. And after my mom died, he became my mother and father.
Yeah.
So when I say I look up to him with high regard, regardless if we agree, disagree, or whatever, I'm always going to have that respect for him as a man of God, as a provider, because I am blessed. Mm-hmm. And so being able to show him love and support is the least that I can do as he is in this transition. But yeah, family Bible study, that's something that is important for the family, for us to connect with each other and connecting through the Bible. So something that we talked about doing, Summer had saw a TikTok Gen Z Bible, which has different translations in the Gen Z language. So she's going to have that. I'm going to have my different version that I like. My dad has his own version of the Bible that he likes. And I'm not sure what my bonus mom is going to do as it relates. So she has her own version. She's going to be with dad. I don't know. Mm-hmm. However, comma, being able to have all these different translations and to have conversations and to be able to talk about and unpack certain things that are in the Bible, because there are some things that I grew up learning that now I'm empowered with more information. I'm like, that wasn't the context of what that actually meant.
Right.
And I don't understand why y'all focusing so much on this passage here, but not this passage over here. So it's a lot that I want to be able to talk through. And I think that us doing it as a family is going to continue to strengthen our relationship and our bond. And that is something that is something that means so much to me because of how fragmented we were and how in this process, particularly with my dad having cancer and then becoming cancer free, I feel like we're the strongest ever. And that's like truly a Goolsby gang. Like that's that's truly the hashtag there, because we are definitely lockstep with each other now more than ever.
I love that. Come on out here, soul healer.
Yes, indeed.
Pastor Soul Healer Bianca, I see you. I'm here for it. I love that. So let me see where I am on the transparency moment here. I am so I'm gonna say I feel like I'm a blue green gradient with purple splashes like here and there. So for instance, like when I talked about, you know, you mentioned earlier too with DEI and everything happening with DEI, that has had a supreme impact on me in my financial journey. Just the other day, we had not necessarily a meeting, but we got another email about, okay, we have to pull these terms. We got to think another way to go about this. Like, it's a lot that's happening there. So I'm really just trying to stabilize myself and all of that and think about, again, what my transition looks like in educational advocacy and in education, and how do I want to use that in this next iteration of life? Because it's very clear that the things that I was doing are drying up quick. So I have been thinking about things like developing a homeschool curriculum and all of that to honor the knowledge that I do have. And so it doesn't go anywhere. So, yeah, that's the kind of purple of it, I think. I already talked about the bathroom and the morning routine. All of that is stuff that feels like it's coming together. So that does feel like the I'm good portion of it, that I'm being better every day, and every day I'm feeling more stable and more able to create and think and be productive for the things that I want to be doing. And the green of it all, I've been thinking about how I even want to address and where I want to address a lot of the things that are happening behind the scenes with me. So let me start here, that Ratatouille and I are working on a cookbook, and it's so cool because, you know, I talked about that soup earlier, and that soup being the thing that made me pause and be like, hold on, who are you and what's happening here? And it has only gotten more, I don't even know if I have the words. Let me think. Because I was going to say more unbelievable, but it's not unbelievable. It's very believable, but maybe more amazing or I think I live in this space of surrealness, like, wow, like this seems like it's actually happening. But there's also a level of like cautious optimism as well, because I'm just used to shit getting snatched away at this point. So it's like, I don't want to be too happy, because then it's like, okay, that wasn't really what you thought it was. But I'm also trying to just focus on honoring what is happening in the present, as opposed to looking forward to it not being. So I keep saying and so a lot, because I'm trying to pick which words I want to use, because at the core of it, I am so happy. I really am. And I guess I've just never felt so able to just be and relax and not have to jump through so many extra hoops to explain what is happening. And so, like, for instance, I was talking to him the other day and he was like, baby, I went and I was looking up some videos about our brains because I know that we both have ADHD and I want to make sure that we're like learning about our brains and stuff. So I had went on and watched some videos and this is what I found out like about our brains. And I was like, wow, really? So he's like, yeah. And we're like having this whole, and you know, I love a good conversation about the brain. You know, you're talking about the brain. I'm sold. So we had like this whole conversation about how our brains work and what he needs versus what I need and what that looks like and sounds like, or even like, what is the space? What is the brain space looking like? Are your brain people there? Like, what's happening? Like, all of that kind of stuff. The consistent reminders, drink water today. Okay, thank you for the reminder because I don't be remembering. That it seems so small, but has been like really helpful. And this man is silly as hell. And I love it so much because I am silly as hell. And I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily know that about me per se, unless they catch me maybe in one of these spaces. And depending on what time of day it is, my silly might be present or it might not. We were laughing so hard the other day. Like, neither one of us could find words because we're both like, this is hilarious. Like, I live for that kind of stuff of being able to just be free and have fun and laugh and be silly and like all the things. So this has been a very, very interesting journey. So we're working on this cookbook, and this is where we're going to tell our story about how we met, what is happening, what has happened, what is going to happen, and we're going to do it through these recipes that we're giving, because he also does not really want to live in the digital world. He is very much, I need a book. I need pages. I need to flip through the pages and smell the ink and like all the things, right? He's a poet and a writer and like all that. And I'm like, that is, I get it. I understand. And also, there are people out here on the internet and that's where a lot of life is happening. So I understand you want to be in the background. That's cool. And also, this is how we're going to take care of ourselves. So what's the compromise in this? So that's been really interesting because doing this cookbook, though it is a digital product, it is very much something that can be printed and something that will live on. So I wanted to tell you, and I'm curious as to what you think about these two titles, because we've narrowed it down to two titles for our cookbook. And you all can also vote in the comments. That would make me very happy if you would, actually. So hold on, let me switch. You have any questions or things you want to say before while I look for this post?
No, yes. I want to say that Lil Baby is in love and I'm here for it. I love it for you. I am glad that you're in a space where you're able to receive good love and that you have someone that you can count on, that you can depend on, that can be your anchor. And I love seeing that. I like being able to witness your glow when they call you on the phone on FaceTime, which is something I rarely see you being any type of
video. I just told him that the other day. I said, let me tell you how you got to know that you special. Because unsolicited requests of my face, that does not happen at Oh, you know how crazy I used to be looking at y'all like people is just calling and your face is on? I barely accept phone calls. So like, what is happening? But it's bad to be calling me and me being like, hey. That's wild.
I love it for you, friend. So what are the titles?
Okay, so the first one is Con Sazón y Amor. So Sazón is seasoning and Amor is love. Okay, so that's the anchor. So you're voting on the subtitle. So the main title is Con Sazón y Amor. The first one is A Love Story in Every Bite. So again, Con Sazón y Amor, A Love Story in Every Bite. Or, Con Sazón y Amor, A Journey of Love, Healing. Wait, I don't know. I don't remember what the other thing was. Love, healing, and something else that I can't see. That was anticlimactic. Hold on. Wait a second. Un momento. Take three. Hold on. Okay, hold on. Let me find it. Sazón. I got to use the third function. I was looking on the YouTube because I had asked the people to vote. Okay, here we go. All right, so option number one. All right, start over. Take seven. Okay, so option number one. Con Sazón y Amor. A love story in every bite. Option number two. Con Sazón y Amor. A journey of love, healing, and flavor.
The love, healing, and flavor is okay. My vote.
That's your vote? Okay. Mm-hmm. You'll have to go over to the Mind of My Black Ass Business YouTube page to officially cast your vote. But thank you for participating.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, so we're working on a cookbook. And in that, we're going to have some recipes, some smoothie recipes, maybe some tea recipes, dinner recipes, lunch, soups. So I'm excited about it. And what I'm most excited about it is how excited he is about it.
Aww.
Because he was like, you know, I have been saying that I want to write a cookbook for years. He's like, and I have just never sat down and done it. And you are my motivation. Like you asking me that has just, oh my God, like I'm just so motivated right now. And it was funny because I'm like, I know, like, you know, I do things with intention. So anything, I be having a vision. And it's been a while to get here because he is very much, I don't be on them internet. You know, very much like that, which is also wild because we met on the internet. So, sir, relax. but he likes to unplug from the internet as much as possible. And we had a conversation and I was like, listen, I need you to understand the vision. Because if you would just tap in, I swear to God, this could be something. And finally, he was like, I see. I see how this can be a thing. So I'm like, yeah, I just need to cooperate with me. You ain't got to be up here in front of the camera. If that ain't where you want to be, that's fine. You be Ratatouille for the rest of your life. And the people that need to know you in real life will know you in real life. And it will know your actual persona and who you are and where you came from and all that kind of stuff. And guess who everybody else will think you are? Ratatouille. And that's what it's going to be. And that's fine. And also, we got a vision. So let's get it together. So
I love this. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So I'm happy and I'm happy to say that I'm happy and I'm happy to feel like there is somebody who is looking to talk to me and looking to make space and, you know, wanting to have a phone conversation and wanting to do highs and lows and wanting to talk about the things and wanting to talk about brains and wanting to talk about whatever rabbit hole, you know, that you're on, like that, I have to be able to learn from my partner. And I also need to feel that my partner delights in talking to me and spending time with me and getting to know more about me and is curious and, you know, so yeah. So our love story will be published in the recipe book and it'll be a series. And even he was like, okay, now in the next book, we need to, I was like, hey, great. Also, let's do this one first. Let's do this one first. But also, yes, this is a series. You know me and my universe concepts and all of that. So I'm excited to be introducing him into the universe in this way. And I also am very protective of what we have. And like I said, it's on a need to know basis. So y'all get an exclusive. Because y'all are here, y'all get a little bit more information that I may be putting out in other spaces. But yeah, I'm happy.
I love this friend. So I'm glad that in the midst of just heartbreak and betrayal and feeling abandoned and all of that, that love has been able to enter into not only your world, but mine and in very similar times too. And being able to be like, hey, friend, I see you in love. Yeah. And being like, friend, I see you in love too. Let him love you, girl. and to be able to share in that, because when I tell you love is the highest frequency, and we've been talking about that for some time now, and being able to experience this life with the highs and lows and the ebbs and flows, but knowing that there is a person that you have a safe space with, that you can build with and collaborate with and share visions with, that is so powerful. And I am just sending love to those that are searching for that person. That you find that person that God has for you, that you're able to live a wildly joyful life centered around freedom, fulfillment, peace, and purpose.
Yeah.
Cause it is so life changing and so redeeming too.
Yeah. Yeah. It really
But I
is.
See your glow and it's so amazing to see, even in pockets of time where you ain't doing too much talking to me, but you talking to little baby, young sir. And I'm like, well, I'm happy that Ratatouille is making you happy. And that is someone that is making you laugh. And to hear your laugh on the other side of the wall, I'm like, all right, all is well.
Yeah, it makes me tear up a little bit. It's been a journey. It's been a journey for sure. So I'm grateful, and I am grateful for the way that God is able to shift things in moments. And I do think the key to attracting a different type of relationship is being very clear on what you want and who you are and what you is and what you ain't finna go for. And unfortunately, that often comes on the other side of some hurt. But I can honestly say that I am appreciative of the lessons that I have gotten from every experience that I have gone through, though some I would have chosen for sure not to go through. But since I signed up for this life, and I don't believe that I would have signed up for a trash ass life, because I'm not a trash ass person. So I continue to believe that there has to be just some type of astronomical greatness on the other side of this. And I do believe that through both of our journeys, that we're going to be able to help people heal and also be open to the fact that your previous experiences don't have to be your future experiences, that everybody isn't looking to cause harm. There are some people who are just trying to find the right vibration and frequency. And when you find them, you know very, very quickly and strongly. It's like an all-consuming experience on multiple levels where it's like, what is going on? Like, how?
Yes,
I didn't
indeed.
Even know, because even both of us had talked about having given up on love. Like, you know, I was happy that y'all had found each other, and I was like, great, so y'all gonna be together and I'll never be by myself. That's awesome. Yay. You know, and I was just happy for y'all. And then for God to be like, girl, you think I'm gonna leave you out? Girl, dude, let me send you to Panama so you can bust your chin wide open and also find love. You're welcome.
Like, yes, indeed.
Like, yes, that's wild. Indeed. So, please do be encouraged and understand that even when things seem like they don't make sense, that they can and they absolutely will. So we did not do our introduction at the top of the show because we kind of just started talking, but I do want to honor it for editing's sake so that we can't have it in here because we worked on our new introduction and such and so.
Period,
so
Pooh.
Am I good to go ahead and run it? And I got to make sure I got the right one though, because, you know, it's we did some shifting. So hold on. Let me come over here. Boom. Boom. I think this is it. Got it. Okay, we ready?
We ready.
All right. So what up, y'all? Welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit, where we're taking everything we learned in 2024 and amplifying it for a new year of transformation. This isn't just a podcast anymore. This is a revolution in healing. Whether you're a longtime listener or this is your very first episode, get ready for some life-changing conversations.
We've learned something powerful over the past year. When we share our truth, we give others the permission to do the same. We've created this space for the truth seekers, change agents, and anyone ready to do the work. Because let's be honest, real change happens when we stop hiding and start healing.
So whether you're here to work through your own journey or learn from ours, you're in the right place. We're about to get real, get deep, and most importantly, get results.
So buckle up, strap in, grab your favorite drink, and let's heal this shit together.
So my name is Kim. I am an educational advocate, activist, consultant. I'm a visionary and motivational speaker, virtual producer and network executive, an intuitive melanated life coach. I help people deepen their relationship with God to understand their unique design and their purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm a professional frolicker, and I'm also an expat currently living in Medellin, Colombia. And today, whenever you are listening to this, I'm one of your hosts. What up?
Yes, indeed. And my name is Bianca Goolsby. I'm a digital activist. I am a strategist. I'm an educational consultant. I am all those things. Also, I am a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. So I'm an investigator. I'm a receipt collector. So please put some respect on my name. I've been working very, very hard out here in these digital streets. And so I need you to put some respect on it. I'm also the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and heal. Side note, these shirts will be available very, very soon on teachingfortheculture.com. So make sure that you check that out. And I'll also slide in a coupon code, heal that shit, so that we know that y'all are the ones that got it from here. Okay. I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach. Okay. Yes, indeed. And a digital nomad traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. Currently, I'm in Medellin, Colombia. And my purpose is to empower others to find their freedom and fulfillment out here, because life is lifing and people are peopling, but God is still God. And amen. So in this space, we operate by three keys. That is accountability, transparency, and integrity. And before we go any further about anything, I just want to make sure that we do our community agreements because it's very, very important. So what you can expect from us, for us to honor the three keys, that we're going to keep it real, we're going to speak freely, and we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So with that being stated, if you have little listeners that are around, you might want to grab some AirPods, some headphones, or maybe not, that's your business, but giving you the warning that we're going to be free to speak in the way that we see fit in this space and what we can expect from you. Okay, so hate speech and hate comments are not welcomed here. We believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. Okay, so please be intentional with how you engage with others in social spaces, particularly this one, because this one is a safe space. Okay, we want you to engage and go on this journey with us because we're not experts, but we are going to facilitate these hard, necessary, and vital conversations, and we want you to participate. So please let us know where you're watching from. Please let us know what message resonates with you, because together we're committed to doing the work to heal.
Amen, amen. So we do have some ways that you all can interact with us. And these things are coming up, y'all, because we're like back out here on these internet streets doing appearances, like all of that. So this is important. So the first is understanding our community emojis. Okay, so this space, again, is all about healing. So our particular emoji for the Heal That Shit community is the heart with a bandage around it. All right, that's how we know that you are coming from this space. You can pair that with any other color heart. You can pair that with other emojis if you would like, but that specific one is for us here. And then we also have personal emojis. So my emojis are the crayon and the sunflower. So the sunflower is yellow. Yellow is my favorite color. I usually have on yellow glasses. Right now they are needing to be repaired. So if you want to donate to the Fix Kimberlyn's Glasses Fund, you can find me at Cash App at Kimberlyn Jackson. Okay. But yes, yellow is my favorite color. It brings me joy and it makes me happy. It reminds me of the sun. Sunflowers have a lot of symbolism for those who are living with invisible disabilities, as well as, again, seeking the sun and seeking the light. And then the crayon, because there was a time in my life where everything was very black and white and very gray. And I've made a conscious choice to color the fuck out of my life. So that is what the crayon represents. So tell them about yours.
Yes, indeed. Well, the first emoji is the teddy bear, because it's teddy bear season, baby. When I tell you it is time to get love and to receive love. And when I tell you, baby, okay. That teddy bear is everything for me. So that's how you can represent that. And with the hand that is forming the heart. Okay. So for those of you that know my journey, I have a pacemaker. I had to have my heart stitched together in so many ways, physically, but also emotionally. And so the hand that forms the heart is everything. I want to give love and receive love. Love is the highest frequency. And so those are the emojis. If you want to, you know, let me know you watching.
Amen. So our podcast is also available in audio form. So we're available in video form on YouTube, right? So if you go to our YouTube page, Heal That Shit, you're able to see us do this and get the visuals. But if audio is your jam, no worries. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever platforms you listen to your audio podcast. We appreciate you leaving a review. We appreciate you liking, commenting, subscribing, sharing. All of these are free ways that you're able to support us and the things that we are doing here, and we greatly appreciate it. I did Amen. Want quick personal announcement for myself that I keep forgetting to talk about. And that is that I have released my Discover Your Destiny digital workbook independently for people to take a self-paced journey through the process of discovering their destiny and understanding their purpose. And I'm so excited about it. It's been a long time coming and it's finally gotten to that place. So if you are interested in checking that out, please go to dyd25.com. DYD25.com, DYD25.com. And there you're able to learn more about Discover Your Destiny. You're able to learn more about this journey. You're able to see some testimonials. And then you're also able to purchase the book. I actually just sold several copies to a women's Bible study. And they're going to be starting in April with the Discover Your Destiny journey. So I'm really excited about that. And I believe that there's going to be a lot more to come. So I'm trying to be more intentional about making sure that I say it, because I be keeping forgetting about saying it. And, you know, I need to put some respect on my name. I said that a little while earlier, and I just got to do a better job with that. So again, DYD25.com, that is where you can get more information about Discover Your Destiny and where you can also purchase the workbook. It's only $47, and it is my heart's work. It is my life path that I have taken. So I'm excited to get it out there for you all. Do you have anything in the works that you want to tell the people about?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I do. But I'll just say that I've been working very, very hard on my website, biancagoolsby.com, and I've made some major improvements and updates to it. One of the things that is available and accessible right now is the village audit. I have been talking about conducting a village audit for some time now. If you have seen some of my articles published in the Watermark or some of my blogs that I've shared, or even some of my transparency moments that are sprinkled around different spaces on the internet, the village audit is a great workbook, because it gives you some essential questions to ask at different categories. Is this person showing up in the way that I need them to show up? Is there reciprocity? Am I the one that's reaching out to them, or do they reach out to me too? Do I have anxiety when I see their name pop up on the phone? These are some really essential questions. And so there's over 50 questions to reflect and analyze, and an additional workbook that is either in Google Doc format or Adobe PDF format, to where you can actually write the people's names down and actually do an audit of, are you going to nurture this relationship? Are you going to release this relationship? Because I'm telling you, in this vital time, we need to do audits beyond just relationships. We need to do audits with our financials. We need to do audits with our spiritual life. We need to do audits with what we consume, whether that's food or social media content, all of it. But the village audit is the people. So who's in your corner? What does that look like? And you can get that at my website at www.biancagoolsby.com.
Yes. So I think that is all of the announcements and such, unless you have any other announcements or updates that you want to throw in there.
No. Where can the people find you?
So the people can find me at KimberlynJackson.com, as well as DYD25.com. You can also find me out on social media spaces, on Instagram at Kimberlyn Jackson. I'm sorry, at Kimberlyn J, and Mindin' My Black Ass Business on all platforms. So MindinMyBlackAssBusiness.com is where you can get merch. And Mindin' My Black Ass Business on YouTube is where my vlogs live, where my professional frolicker adventures live. I've been hanging out with my Patreon and sharing a lot more in my Patreon about what has been happening. So that's also a great place to connect with me. It's only $5 a month. So if you are looking for some inside intel, that's where you can find it. But most importantly, I appreciate y'all supporting me. Okay. I appreciate you taking the time to watch. We are currently on a monetization journey on Mindin' My Black Ass Business. So we're asking people to pledge a certain amount of watch hours to be able to help us to get to a place where we can do this full time, because that is the dream, the hope. We ready to retire out of these spaces that done tow us down. Okay. We want to be able to just frolic out here on these internets. So a way that you can do that again, is by liking, subscribing, sharing, commenting, sharing this with someone else, sharing this podcast with someone else that's connected to our universes. So that's it. So KimberlynJackson.com, Minding My Black Ass Business on all platforms, Kimberlyn J on Instagram, as well as DYD25.com if you are looking for more information about Discover Your Destiny. Your turn.
Well, the people can find me in the Bear Cave, and the Bear Cave can be in multiple different places at this point. A digital nomad is truly living, but on the virtual streets, you can find me on my website, www.biancagoolsby.com. On the website, there are links to different spaces on social media, my blog, in addition to my Patreon, which, let me just say, I am so grateful for the people at my Patreon in particular, because they have been with me through the very beginning of creating Morning Tea and Allegations and the creation of Teaching for the Culture. And I've had a lot of support and responses privately to me as it relates to this trademark dispute. And I really appreciate that. Now, what I'm working towards is to actually have more communication and community inside the comment section, so that it's not just so coming to me on the back end, but it's something that other people can see. And so that's what I'm trying to curate and to nurture there. However, comma, I am so grateful and blessed that in the midst of it all, that there are people that are sharing my work, that are donating, that are even giving me stars. I was just approved for the Meta monetization program, and I'm literally making money on posts that I've already posted and making money on the new stuff that I'm creating now, where my transparency moment, I made a dollar from that. And I'm proud of that dollar. Why? Because yeah. I didn't get paid for any of the transparency moments that I've been posting for all this time. So when I tell you more reels and videos and content is going to be posted, absolutely. And having this podcast equipment set up and me feeling like I can do this again really has me amped up. So to get more updates, subscribe, BiancaGoolsby.com.
Cool beans. All right. So we're back. We're set up. We're plugged in. We are ready to continue this journey with you all. Thank you all for the grace as we needed to, again, tend to ourselves and make sure that we were in the best states before we were able to sit in front of you. So we appreciate it so much. And yeah, we'll see y'all next time.
Yes, indeed. Bye.